Welcome to episode 49 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is Greylock 3491, and we got a full house tonight as E3 is rolling. Everybody's excited. Well, I think everybody's excited. I'm excited. And so this week, I am joined by DBQ Hams.
I wish I could sing like I did last year, but I just, it's not feeling it this year.
Osiris Prime.
Hello, hello.
And coming back after a week away, Zeus Adamus.
Now 40% smaller.
Nice. Well, unlike our normal shows where we talk about what we've been gaming, we talk about gaming news, and we're just going to talk about gaming news, and we're going to talk about E3 with a very heavy focus on everything E3 and probably not too much of anything else because today is Monday night. And man, we had a whole bunch of conference calls already from the big game companies, and we're going to dive right into it. Let's start with whoever went first. It was EA. They had the first conference, and you know what? I'll just start and say, man, I really, really liked what I saw from Titanfall 2. Good news that they have a single-player campaign. The multiplayer looked like a lot of fun. Again, I'm not ready to say it's a must-have or a must-buy, but I kind of regret getting into Titanfall 1 after the fact, after everybody had already left and it was on sale, because I had a lot of fun. Now, I got to say, I had a lot of fun in the co-op, mostly, so no news on Titanfall 2 if there's co-op, but it looked great. Also thought Battlefield 1 looked great, even though it was in World War 1. It still looked like the same old Battlefield, just prettier and more people. I'll probably buy it. I've bought every Battlefield out there. But, and then Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm thinking maybe this is my chance to get in on the ground floor with the new trilogy. So, DB, I'm going to throw it to you because you're next in the list. What did you think of the EA press conference or at least the news from it? I didn't watch the thing live. I don't have the patience for it.
So, I did. I had the patience and the excitement. I came in from mowing the lawn and was very happy to task my son with finishing up mowing so I could go in and watch a press conference. But actually, I was really excited about EA's. Knowing the idea of hopefully seeing some more Battlefront, I was eager to hear more about Titanfall 2. I hadn't seen the leak earlier in the day about the confirmation or about more details on the single-player story, but we kind of knew that that was coming, but it's nice to have that confirmed. So my big piece is I was blown away by the Titanfall trailer. You know, the former Infinity Ward guys, Respawn, they know how to cut a good trailer. You know, lots of good excitement, good action piece, set pieces, and that whole ending where you eject out of the Titan and grapple hook a guy in the air. You know, it makes for a good trailer. But the idea of there's 6 new Titans, a few more different classes, the single player story looks actually pretty interesting. You're kind of stuck behind enemy lines. Your Titan has some type of AI, or at least some characterization, and so there's a lot that they can do with that. I really enjoyed Titanfall 1. Like you, Gray, I got into it late. I got into it in the winter of 2014 on one of those cheap Christmas sales. But I've loved the campaign, or the quote-unquote campaign. And actually, the Titanfall 2 trailer was interesting enough to me I fired back up Titanfall last night, played 4 or 5 games, ranked up a little bit. It's still a fun, it's a well-made engine, and it should be fun to be back in that universe. Mass Effect Andromeda, I was disappointed that it really was more of a developer profile than it was any type of gameplay. I'll be curious to hear what you guys think of this, but for me, it seems pretty hard to think that this is going to be a winter 2017. You know, they had originally talked that it might be in February. I can't see it being in February, and maybe it's gotten pushed back more officially that I'm just missing. But if you're not showing off that much gameplay, I can't see that it's only, you know, 7 months away. So... Zeus, did you hear anything more about when that official release date is?
No, I was just going to say this is the new game, right? It's you know, it used to be that you would always announce everything announced at E3 was being announced for the holidays. So this is the kind of big shift that now we're now knowing that games that are scheduled for the holiday season have a good chance to slip into the spring. They're just off the cuff announcing them that they're coming out in the spring. Of course, what we witnessed in 2016 was that May is the new February. Right, so highly likely that a game that EA is touting is going to be released in February we'll probably actually see in March, or like we saw this year, that huge deluge of games that we just came through dropping in the May timeframe, you know, going into the Memorial Day weekend and throughout June.
Yeah, and I'll come back to that idea because overall I think that's where I wasn't singing It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year, because it really feels like we're getting all kinds of interesting or potentially interesting announcements about games that we already knew about or games that are not coming until 2017. Where I'll give EA credit, you know, at least in their press conference, the stuff that they were talking about, or the majority of it, was all stuff that's coming out this year. Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2, they spent plenty of time on FIFA and Madden. They did a little bit of an indie developer. The game was called Fee. Neat kind of artsy nature game. And again, I don't know that the game really blew me away, but I respect what EA is trying to do in terms of give a profile to some of those smaller kind of creative games like they did with Unravel and Yarny last year, and now give it to kind of highlight another indie developer. So I enjoyed that as well. Prime, what stuck out to you?
Well, like you guys were talking about Titanfall. Titanfall 2, definitely I want to, like, very cool, very, very colorful, actually. Kind of, you know, the first one was kind of drab, I guess, in most of the environments, because they're kind of just cities and, you know, kind of rocky areas. But this one looks a lot more color in it. Like you said, the grappling hook looks really cool, and it's kind of weird with the grappling hook, because they kind of showed him at one point where he, like, hooked onto, like, a piece of a building, and he was kind of just swinging, almost like Spider-Man. So I don't know if you can just do that, or if you can just, like, zip line, you know, across, like, the different buildings and stuff. They didn't really show that other than kind of, like, when they zipped that guy, you know, into, at the end when they zipped that guy and kind of, like, punched him out. So it would be interesting to see how, you know, more gameplay on that. Unfortunately, I didn't get to look at any more news to see, you know, kind of, they had the after show stuff and probably stuff today they're probably still throwing out, but it's kind of busy today, so I didn't get to dive into everything like I wanted to. So that was cool. And before that, sorry, I just wanted to mention, I didn't watch it live originally. I kind of went back and was kind of just flipping through it later on that night, once it was totally finished. Then the next thing that kind of caught my eye was the Star Wars news. So they didn't really show much. I guess they showed some stuff for Battlefront that was coming up. Looks like they had Lando Calrissian's gonna come up, and there's something else actually I didn't write down here. I think
it was... I kind of found that confusing with the Star Wars thing, because it's like, oh, we got all these great developers, but it was like, well, you didn't announce any games.
Yeah, they're just kind of rattling off. What's her face? Jade Raymond, I believe, is her name.
Yep. Amy Henning and Jade, yep. Jade Raymond, their game that they're working on with Visceral.
Yeah, so she had come out, yeah, and like Ray was saying, she was just kind of rattling off, like being, you know, like totally cryptic, not really saying anything. She's on, I believe, Motive is the team she's leading, the studio, and they're actually working, I guess, on Battlefront, a Battlefront for next year. So I don't know if it's like a sequel, or I'm assuming it's a sequel. They didn't really say sequel, but. And I don't think it didn't really sound like it was like more DLC or anything. So I know they were working on that. But yeah, Visceral had some an action adventure game that they just mentioned, and that was pretty much all they said. That's coming out not until like 2018. And then Respawn is another third-person action adventure game that they had mentioned. I don't even think they gave any kind of date on that. And I know that had just gotten announced, what, like a week or two ago, maybe, or a few weeks ago, that Respawn was working on something. So, yeah, that whole section was kind of just weird. They were just kind of, you know, throwing things together. So, I don't know. It was kind of just kind of mumble jumbo, but at least they're, you know, announcing some stuff. Like I said, didn't show anything, but, you know, that's cool. And then the other thing, I was just going to mention this, the same thing you had mentioned about the, I think they call it EA Originals, which is like their indie initiative, I guess. And the only thing they showed was that Fee, which I guess it's like a 3D kind of platformy kind of a game, I guess, from what I saw. So it looked cool, I guess, but I don't know if it was something I'd, you know, drop money down on day one for. It was probably something I'd pick up maybe later on. But other than that, it was, I don't know, I just kind of the same old for their conference, just kind of, they kind of, you know, kind of killed it in the middle with, you know, all the sports stuff. And, you know, granted, you know, all that stuff's very popular and, you know, they got to, you know, they want to focus on it. But, you know, to me, it's just, and to a lot of people I saw, I was kind of following a Facebook group when it was live going through just so I can try to catch some news. And they're, you know, obviously it's the internet, but, you know, they're just kind of groaning, moaning and groaning about it for the most part. There was a few people here and there that were interested, but, you know, like I said, though, it was kind of same old EA conference, just kind of a lot of talk and stuff. But they did show cool things. Battlefield 1 also looks cool. I kind of like the part where they showed the Zeppelin kind of getting, like, fired upon on, and then it, like, drops to the ground and explodes. That was pretty cool. So probably not a day one buy, but I'll probably pick it up eventually. But, yeah, other than that, it's probably pretty much it. Zeus, I know you had mentioned you didn't get the chance to check out any conferences, but any thoughts on anything that we mentioned? Or anything that they maybe you wanted to see but that didn't show up?
Yeah, and I mean, I did, you know, follow the news on it. So the mud ball of it is, and somebody in our Facebook group mentioned it. I can't remember if it was Eric or someone else, but and I didn't feel this way, but definitely as you read it from a headline perspective, this is all sequels, right? Which is maybe okay. I think we've kind of come through the gamer culture where we all kind of moan and groan about everything being sequelitis. And now I actually look forward to sequelitis because there was a period of time where we were inundated by indies and didn't see a lot of AAA titles. But, you know, it's Titanfall 2, which has a popular but not a very large following, I don't think. I think it's larger than maybe it gets talked about or it's predicted, but, you know, I can't think of it as a heavyweight amongst the multiplayer titles on Xbox One. Battlefield 1 is welcome to see a flip back, you know, to an older campaign style, but it is Battlefield. Mass Effect is Mass Effect. Star Wars, like you guys mentioned, the Star Wars announcements felt like an episode of Seinfeld, right? It was a lot of announcements about nothing, and no idea when these things are coming out or what the real plan for them is. You know, FIFA, Madden, and then the one indie title. It was just a lot of, you know, it was a lot of core gamer kind of heart hooks, but at the end of the day, not a whole lot. And what I was disappointed to not hear anything about was whatever the new iteration of Need for Speed will be.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see anything mentioned about any Need for Speed or any kind of racing games from them. I guess that's kind of the only thing they have, really. But the one thing I did want to mention, kind of talking about release dates, they did mention that release dates for Titanfall and Battlefield 1. And I think we kind of mentioned this, I think a couple episodes ago, maybe even last episode, kind of everything's kind of blurring together. But so Battlefield 1 is going to come out on October 21st. And then a week later, we get Titanfall 2. So, and I think we talked about that a little bit last week. I don't know if we had firm dates yet, but, you know, this is actually confirmed now that, you know, they're coming out a week apart. And, you know, there are different styles of gameplay, I guess, I suppose. But, you know, two, and I'll put this in quotes, heavy hitter, you know, AAA titles coming out within a week of each other. I don't know how to... I don't know how that's going to fare for either title, if it's going to take away from one or the other. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think their hope is that they get them both out before Call of Duty comes, and they get enough people kind of either invested in them to keep going or get enough initial purchases. But I think that's why it feels like they're on top of each other, is because Call of Duty is early November. So, but it is kind of surprising to me. But at the same time... I could see the rationale being that you've got a big team-based shooter and a big kind of sci-fi shooter, and that it chips away at two different edges of the FPS player base. And so hopefully that chips away enough to eat into Call of Duty.
I think it would have been better if they could have released Titanfall in September, but they probably won't be done by then. But, you know, September, October, having 1 month after another would have been really good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess it makes kind of sense, DB, what you're saying, that, you know, they want to get out before Call of Duty. I don't know, though, if... I mean, I guess Call of Duty's still, you know, selling like gangbusters, but I don't know if it has the I don't know what you want to say, the calling or whatever, no pun intended, you know, to, you know, that games want to kind of get out of its way like it used to. I mean, I suppose so. I'm not sure how Black Ops 3 had sold compared to, you know, the other ones, or even compared to Battlefront. I think it was actually more than Battlefront, if I remember, but, you know, still, it's definitely waning a little bit within these last few years, but, and I suppose they could still be, you know, people are still, or companies are still afraid of the juggernaut that is or was Call of Duty. And there is actually another game that's coming out on the 28th that we'll talk about later. But anyways, any other thoughts, guys?
Yeah, for all the lack of love on this podcast for Battlefront, everything I've read about it said it did extremely well as far as sales. So I just wish it had four-player co-op. I think it's a great game. I just missed the four-player co-op. But if there's nothing else, let's move on to Bethesda, my favorite game company, trying to pronounce that. And they announced Skyrim Remastered. And, you know, it's just a prettier Skyrim. And I'm going to get it free because I have bought all the DLC on Steam when it was on the Super Sale. And so unless they're going to add co-op in on the Xbox version, I won't be buying it. I mean, it looks beautiful, but I already own it on the PC. The PC already has a high-def texture pack, and apparently I'm going to get the free version because I had bought all the extras. So I don't know. I don't see anybody who's played it. People have sunk 200-400 hours into it. Will they go back and do it all over again if it's the same game? I don't see it myself, but what do you think, DB?
So I think the big hook here is for console gamers. It's not for PC. I think that's why they're giving it away to people that already own it on PC, because it doesn't necessarily cut into those sales, because they can already get a really high res either through mods or, you know, through just their own graphics cards. So, but the nice thing about it for consoles, for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, is one, the graphics really do look nice. I mean, they really did. They didn't just kind of high res the textures. The whole maps are, you know, the landscapes are different and more developed. It's not simply just doing a passover on the polygons. So I think that's nice for people that haven't played it. For people that have sunk hundreds of hours into it, the only benefit really on the console is that it's now supporting console mods. And so that gives console owners the whole world that, or maybe not quite the whole world, because it's probably not going to be as many of the uncensored mods as there are on PC, but it does really open up a lot of different gameplay and opportunities to go back and make that world a little bit different for people. So yeah, I truthfully, as someone who hasn't sunk a whole lot of time into Skyrim, the idea of mods with it is kind of enticing. But I liked the Dishonored 2. The first Dishonored was really good. It was a stealth game done well that isn't simply just fail states. And so hopefully the universe that they kind of create and that kind of gothic world is really interesting. So I'm interested in Dishonored 2. Prime, did you see anything about Dishonored 2 or anything else in the conference that struck you? You've played ESO, right? Elder Scrolls Online? Is that something that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I played it and I still have it. I only played it for maybe like a few weeks, and then everything kind of life took over and I kind of fell off of it. And then just other games started coming out, so I didn't get to play as much as I would have liked. I mean, I liked what I had played, but I think I would have liked it better if I had somebody I could actually play with. So I was pretty much solo. Actually, I was solo all the times that I played. So But yeah, as far as I think they showed off the Dark Brotherhood DLC that's going to be coming out, I think this month maybe, or maybe next month. But I probably won't be jumping into that anytime soon, more than likely. But yeah, Dishonored 2 looked actually really cool. I didn't play the first one. I have it from the Games with Gold, I believe. I think I got it from, because I got it free. So I'll probably jump back, maybe play a little bit of that one, and then maybe check this one out. It looked actually really cool, and I think this one is more of an open world game, I believe, from what I gathered. But yeah, it looks really cool. Looks really, once again, really colorful. Just kind of the atmosphere and everything, and just the abilities that you have. It looked really cool. But then besides that, a little PC love here. There was Quake Champions was announced, and they had a trailer for it, but it was just CG trailer. Didn't show any gameplay, at least not during the conference. So, but that's cool. I like Quake. I remember playing it. Oh boy, I think I actually played it on the Dreamcast online through a old modem, which was actually kind of amazing if you think about it. But played that, and then I got it for I think whatever Quake came out on the 360 when it first came out. Played that one. I think that was 4 maybe, if it even had a number on it.
Did you play it on the did you play it on did you play it on the Dreamcast with the Dreamcast mouse and keyboard?
No, I don't remember. No, I don't think so. I think I just used a controller, I believe, as far as I can remember. I'm not sure though.
Okay, I'd have given you bonus points if you'd used the mouse and keyboard. I think I may have been like one of the two people on the planet who actually had it.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, I think I would have remembered that, so probably not. But besides, anyways, like I was saying, so yeah, this one looks, well, I shouldn't say it looks cool, but just the trailer like kind of looked cool, and it kind of, brought those nostalgic feelings back. And this is kind of, and even all these action games, kind of like you're talking about Zeus, it's kind of just, more sequels and or reboots of franchises. I know they had Prey on there, which is like totally different from the Prey 2 they had shown. What was it, last year or the year before? So it looks like it's like a total reboot, and I'm not even sure if it has anything to do with the old Prey.
It doesn't, or 10 years ago, and I think this game, I think after this conversation, this game should become the game we shall not speak of.
Okay. Yeah, so there was that, and I know they had the Elder Scrolls, what do you call it, the card game that they're coming out with. I mean, it seems like every company is coming out with a card game now. DB, did you
Yeah,
have a comment?
Elder Scrolls Legends, right?
Yes.
Legends.
Yeah, so they showed that off. They had some more Fallout 4 DLC that they were showing off, and some I guess it's like build your own vault expansion that they're gonna have, and something called Contraptions, which they kind of just showed like these weird, like almost Rube Goldberg type machines that they're just doing silly stuff on. And the Fallout Shelter, which is their mobile game, to kind of show that off. But kind of other than that, it was kind of the, just like I said, like Zeus said, just kind of more sequels and reboots and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm more excited for Dishonored 2. Probably check that out because it looks really cool, really different, or at least from anything I've played recently or in the past. And then Skyrim, I definitely want to buy. I'm definitely gonna buy, and that's day one. I'll pre-order that as soon as it comes out. I love that game. I started out in Oblivion. That was my first Elder Scrolls, but then Skyrim came out, and I just, I played the heck out of that game. It was like over 224 hours, I believe, was the last time I had checked my time. So I played a lot of that game. But I'd love to go back. And to be honest with you, so far I haven't really seen much else new other than like Titanfall. I'll definitely buy that for sure. And speaking of which, Skyrim Special Edition is what it's called. It's coming out October 28th, so we'll be buying two games that day. But other than that, yeah, that was I think that was it for that Bethesda, as far as I saw. Any comments, Zeus, on anything? Not Frank.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, we all know that this Bethesda tends to occupy a lot of space in the types of games that that normally aren't on my playlist. The big 40, 80-hour RPGs. So the Skyrim Special Edition, I think there is a place in the market for those. We've been talking about that a little bit over on the website I write on, and we had some people who kind of blew up about all the rehashes, but you know, I just kind of pointed out, you know, there's a place for these in the market, I think. And I was one of those guys, too, who were like, why are all these remasters? They're not making new games. And, I was of the whole mindset of, oh, they're taking, you know, development resources off of, like, AAA games they could be making. That's wrong. That's not how that really works. It's not like if you took 10 developers off Skyrim Special Edition, somehow they would, make the next Fallout come out faster. there's a whole generation of kids, right, that weren't old enough to play these games when they were out, that have these new consoles, you know, that didn't have the old consoles, that are part of the market for these. There's a very small percentage of fans who just rabidly love the game so much that they'll purchase it again. But it's mostly for people who, weren't of age and couldn't play it or didn't have time to play it, or people like me who, their backlog is such that they just never get around to things when they're actually on the market frequently. So there's room to go back and do replays or rebuys. And then my last thing is Prey. I was incredibly disappointed by this announcement because, you know, the original Prey spent about the same amount of time in development purgatory. This new game, and you would think that after they had finally gotten the first game out, they would have just immediately turned and gotten the sequel out and not allowed it to linger like it did, but it has, and now, you know, 9-10 years later, it's decayed so much that they're just completely rehashing it. I love the gameplay of the original Prey, which was, you know, hardcore first-person shooter. I think story-wise, it was just as fulfilling, or the closest thing to being as fulfilling as Half-Life. It had one of the most emotional scenes for me at that age, and I'll go ahead and spoil it since the game is 9 years old, but, you know, there is a point where you, where your girlfriend has been surgically attached to one of the enemy monsters, and that's kind of their shtick, right? They were taking human parts and merging them, and creating these mutations, and she and her brain are still alive, and can communicate with you, but it's on top of this beast who's just out to destroy you. And so, I guess you have a few moral choices to make. I chose to kill her, but it was a very big deal for me. So it's very disappointing to hear that it's now turned and is becoming kind of this more Dead Space oriented game. So that is probably the last time I'll ever speak about that title, because I like many things, this franchise is just no longer what it was. So I found the announcement disappointing, and then felt a large degree of disinterest for where it is heading. And I think, what do we have up next, Gray? Ubisoft?
No, we're going into Microsoft. Microsoft was this morning or lunchtime, then was Ubisoft, so we're going to go in chronological order. And with that, maybe did you have anything else, though, on the... on Bethesda?
No, I didn't. I'm good.
Awesome. All right. So let's roll right into Microsoft. And like last year, I was so excited. I actually did watch this one live. It was like parts of it I wanted to fast forward. But I did watch it live and was very excited. I love this. I love how they're going. They're going all the way with this Xbox Play Anywhere idea where you buy the game digitally. And you can play it either on the Windows 10 or Xbox, and you can flip back and forth, and all your achievements, all of your unlocks, and all of your progression will transfer between the two. Kind of like when you're playing Destiny on the 360 and Xbox One, how it's seamless, or it's going to be seamless until the next expansion. But that was pretty phenomenal, and that's what they're pushing for. With this, what they call an Xbox Play Anywhere, it's a cross buy in a sense. And I think we saw that with, I think it was Quantum Break they just did it with recently. But that doesn't mean all of the games will support cross play. A lot of them are, and they did say a lot of them were, like, they really kicked off with this great demo of Horizon 3, Forza Horizon 3. And man, they had a couple of people on, PCs, they had one on an Xbox S, and they went on a regular Xbox One, and they all joined up together and played co-op, four-player co-op in Forza Horizon 3, and that's awesome, that cross-play feature, too. Now, not every game is going to support that cross-play, and not everybody who makes a game for the Xbox is going to do cross-buy with Windows 10, but I just thought that was awesome. I think that's what gamers want. They want to buy it once and be able to play it in both locations, whether it's Windows 10 or Xbox One. And cross-play is phenomenal because, you know, I like how they said it. You know, you can take your game on the go. You may have your Xbox One hooked up to your 60-inch big screen, but if you want to take your gaming laptop on the road, what if you still want to play with your friends, whether it's, you know, whatever your favorite game is? So I love that. I love that where they're going with that, and I love that. And they also mentioned some other things they're doing. They're adding a clubs feature where you create your own community in the Xbox One, Xbox Live software. They're also going to have an arena where you can have competitions and ladders, as well as a looking for group where you could actually say, hey, I'm looking for a group to go through a raid, or I'm looking for a group to build a castle in Minecraft or whatever. So those are some new features they were talking about, which I thought were pretty cool. As far as software, though, I think Forza Horizons 3 was just awesome. I mean, I love the news about Halo Wars 2 and the beta starting right now, and we're having a week to play it. But the gameplay that I saw of it wasn't that great. You know, so I didn't see anything gameplay-wise that was very interesting. And I'm a big Halo Wars fan, but Halo Wars 2, so far what they've shown, I mean, it's like, meh, you know. But yeah, Horizons 3 with four-player co-op just looked awesome. And, you know, as far as hardware, the announcement of the Xbox One S, you know, this thing is 40% smaller. I have a hard time believing it's as small as they showed. I don't think it's actually as small as what they implied it was. But it is smaller. You can stand it up on its edge. You can get it with up to a 2 terabyte hard drive internally. The price they gave of $300, which is a great price, does not contain the 2 terabyte hard drive. But what they did do is the power supply, somehow they figured this out, like the Sony guys do. Power supply is internal, making it very friendly for taking on the road. This definitely will fit in a backpack. You don't have to take a huge brick with you. That is pretty awesome. So 40% smaller, integral power supply, stands up horizontal or vertical, has a built-in IR blaster, which I haven't even processed that yet, HDR gaming, which I haven't processed yet. But the cool thing is supporting 4K, Ultra HD, streaming videos and Blu-ray videos. Very, very cool. And then they got a new controller there that has a longer range and also has Bluetooth built in. So to me, wow, Xbox One S looks like a home run at $300. They also confirmed Scorpio for next gen. There's been a lot of talk about it. Hey, why are you announcing another console 18 months from now? Aren't you going to kill the sales of the new one that's coming out this fall? But I think it's smart for them, and I think it's smart for them to do this so developers can get in publicly develop for it. And then I just want to throw out one more thing about Minecraft, this whole Win 10 iOS crossplay and Realms, and then later extending that to Xbox and PlayStation. So, you know, I will be able to play on my Xbox One next year while my grandchildren are playing on the same server on the iPad. I think that's really, really cool. So, and there's also a free upgrade if you have the Minecraft for regular Windows. There's a free upgrade for the Windows 10 version. You have to log into the Mojang website, and there's more information there about that. But there was another free game, too. There was a Tekken, you guys can help. It's like Tekken Championship 2 was free, I'm still missing one. But, yeah, so that's my spiel about Microsoft. I was very excited. I thought it was a great press conference. Love what they're doing. DB, what do you think?
So I was really excited to go into the Microsoft press conference because I was hoping to hear and be surprised, like I talked about last week. You know, pricing on the Slim, you know. Most of the Xbox press conference seemed to have leaked the week before, and so the idea of moving into a press conference with a hardware announcement in the beginning of it with the Slim, and then closing out a press conference with a hardware console with Project Scorpio could have been really exciting if it all hadn't really leaked. And so seemed to, I mean, at least for me, it stole a lot of thunder because I kind of knew what was coming. All the specs on the Scorpio, the 6 teraflops, all of that has been out there. But at the same time, I can see why they're doing it, and I think the key piece, and I want to throw this to you, Zeus, the key piece that I took away from the Scorpio part was Phil Spencer's comments and use of the phrase beyond generations, that there really are not only just signaling, but kind of just clearly saying there's not an Xbox 2 or Xbox 1.5. This is something that's going to be the PC, and we're going to keep kind of iterating. And so that idea of breaking out of this generation or that generation, and even some of the branding on like Battlefield 1 and other places with the trailers this weekend has been simply just Xbox and not Xbox One anymore. And so I think that that is all signaling they're moving away from the name of that console and just simply calling it a platform. So we've talked about this a little bit in other podcasts. Zeus, as a tech guy, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, well, if you pull back and look at Microsoft on a larger scale, that absolutely makes sense, right? You look at what Satya Nadella is doing, and the CEO of Microsoft, and most of what he's about is about making things that play and stretch across ecosystems. Making Windows apps available on Android and iOS, and so this notion of the Play Anywhere thing is on a smaller scale. It's not as macro as what they're doing with Office, for instance, but it's in a similar strategic pattern. So I think that makes sense. The notion of iterating upon the Xbox also makes sense because it lines up and harmonizes well with Windows, right? The notion that, and I don't know that it's going to be true, but this notion that Windows 10 is the last version of Windows that you're ever going to own, and that everything from here on out is simply an iterative build, an extension on it, and it can behave just like iOS does, right? Where, I think it was iOS 7 maybe threw us the loop of an entirely new UI, and so that's within the realm of possibility of Windows, where just because it's not going to be up-revved and called Windows 11 doesn't mean that it can't. That you won't hit a build that makes a major evolutionary step forward. So, to me, this makes perfect sense because it harmonizes with that strategy and also makes it look like a PC, right? Most of the time when people build a PC, they're that PC, that case, that enclosure, whatever, for a very long time, even though the internals change over. So yeah, all of it makes sense to. To me, I'm neither excited nor bored by it. It just kind of all makes sense. I think what's the most exciting thing, and even with the leak, which, fortunately I insulated myself a little bit from, I thought it was very exciting to hear two hardware announcements when we were expecting one, and that a lot of the capability that we were looking for in the Scorpio is actually kind of sort of being prototyped in the S. So I think having that capability at your fingertips to kind of demo it for a year, I think will be cool. The worry about cannibalizing sales, I think at $300 for a unit that doesn't have a super huge hard drive, I think they'll be safe. It's hitting that point in this generation where, and I know he's saying generations are going away, but it still plays here. We're hitting that point in a generation where you start thinking about, do I buy a second one to throw in the basement in my home entertainment center or put in my den so I have an actual unit in my office. And also to kind of start insulating yourself against the potential failure of the initial unit. So you kind of have some high availability built in to your gaming platform. So, yeah, all of it made sense. I think it was fairly strong overall.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sense part, and it's also kind of market-wise where they need to be by the two hardware announcements. Those don't surprise me because it gives people something to buy and a reason to buy it this fall or buy another one. And for those people that may have held back or have gone that were 360 and now went PlayStation 4, that to see the new spec and this bigger, better box coming next year that's going to work with Oculus, it may give Xbox fans something to come back for. And that's, considering where they're at in the market, that's kind of where they needed to position themselves. For me, unfortunately, that's the most... I really agreed and was fine with the logical pieces of the press conference. Unlike you, Gray, I just didn't really get excited for a whole lot. ReCore looked really interesting. I liked the art style. The most interesting game for me was kind of the extended intro of We Happy Few, the kind of indie game that looks like Clockwork Orange and Dishonored and kind of Bioshocky. So I'm really interested in that, and that's actually something that I'm going to be able to play in another month and a half. And that really is my biggest downer about the press conferences so far, is that most of what we're seeing is all next year. That it's not something that I can get too excited for this fall. That, as you were saying, Zeus, it's things that are, they're kind of way out in front of and announcing early to kind of start that machine. But how about you, Prime? Are you okay with that in terms of starting that machine early, or are you looking for things for this year?
Well, I was hoping to look for things for this year, but it seemed like a lot of their announcements were coming for 2017, so it's kind of a bummer on that end. And just kind of overall, I thought they kind of played it safe this conference. I didn't see, and maybe kind of like we were talking about at the beginning, maybe it was just because we kind of knew what was coming for some, you know, for at least the hardware side, and even some of the games that they announced. And it just kind of seemed that a lot of what they showed, almost all really, as far as gaming wise, it was kind of stuff we already knew that was coming, you know, stuff they announced last year, and they're just kind of expanding on this year. So I don't know. Like I said, I think they just kind of, for me at least, it seemed like they just kind of played it safe for the most part. And just kind of a general thing that I kind of noticed on not just Microsoft's conference, but overall, there seemed to be a lot of like walkthroughs and gameplay sessions. I don't know. Maybe that was just me. I don't know what you guys thought about that. Or obviously, I don't know. Some of you guys didn't get to watch the conferences, but at least DB, did you think that they showed a lot of like just walkthroughs and gameplay footage this year, or not footage, but actual gameplay, you know, demos this year more than usual, or am I just like overthinking it?
Well, I think, you know, Gray was excited about Forza Horizon 3, and that looked really good, but that's coming this fall, which is great. ReCore is supposed to be coming this fall, but then Halo Wars 2 is pushed back to, like Zeus was just saying, it's pushed back to the new May, the new holiday, the new February. There's a lot that is pushed back. I didn't feel like they did. They spent an extended demo on Scalebound, and that, I guess, is good for people who like the Platinum games and like the Devil May Cry series, which is the same creator. And so I could see where that is useful there. Gray, were there other big demos that you can think of outside of the Minecraft one, which I think is a really cool technical feat and is a neat way to kind of unify those systems and leverage Microsoft's place in the market in terms of multiple platforms and PC and console? Were there other demos out there that you can think of, Gray?
You know, it did. I have to kind of agree with Dan a little bit that with Prime a little bit that you know, it did seem like there was a lot of little demos in there. It seemed like everybody was doing a demo. I think the worst one, and tell me if you agree, DB, was Final Fantasy 15. And my son was watching the press conference with me. He's like, he's not really doing too good at his own game. So there were a lot of demos. There were just, and that's why I said earlier, I wish I could have fast-forwarded some, because some of them, like Final Fantasy, were just not a genre that I'm interested in, and I didn't want to sit through the demo. I thought the Horizon 3 demo was awesome, having four people up there. I'm not a big Gears of War fan. You know, they had one of the voice actors With the whole Gears of War, level that they went through, I was not impressed. I won't be buying it. I know there's a lot of people who are big Gears fans, and booyah, but I don't know. Yeah, I thought there was in that Microsoft press conference. I thought there was a lot of games demoed, but I got to be honest with you, I just tuned out the ones that I wasn't interested in. I think the Minecraft one was extremely well done. It's just a bummer that they're not going to add the consoles to that unified server environment until next year.
They also they had the Sea of Thieves one and the Tekken 7.
Oh, I believe, that's right.
The demos, yeah.
And then, Sea of Thieves one was pretty big and pretty. I thought well done. I mean, it really was kind of enticed me into wanting to get the game, but I know I wouldn't have time to play it. But I don't know, DB. That one looked really good.
Yeah, it's got that kind of rare charm to it. Prime and I were talking about this a little bit before the podcast. I think that it showed off some interesting ship and sailing mechanics, where you had a lot of people kind of interacting with each other and having to kind of work on different components of the ship in order to keep it all moving forward. You know, and I can see where having the YouTubers and influencers come in to record Let's Plays over the top of it gives some context for what could be not a super, you know, it's a sailing demo. How do you make that exciting, but you have people commenting over it? I think they showed that it's a real game. I think they, you know, covered a lot there. Again, I think for me, I don't want to rain on anybody's excitement. It's just that it's a year away, and what that finished product looks like is still hard to say. So I'm reserving a lot of judgment, but I'm glad that Rare is making games again.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about that game because it had that kind of stylized look, but I thought it'd be a little bit more cartoony than it actually was, which is fine. I mean, I thought it looked good, but I thought it was going to be like super cartoony, you know, like super deformed characters or something, but it was, you know, kind of just normal. So, you know, that was fine. I didn't have any problems with it. It looks cool. Like I said, I kind of want to see a little bit more than, you know, just the ship stuff. So if there is, I'm assuming there is, like if you can land on different world, you know, islands or countries or whatever, anything like that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, that game fleshed out a little bit more.
Yeah, art style wise, it felt very much like a Fable in terms of its art style, or at least kind of Fable 1, Fable 2. So
yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Anybody else? Some closing thoughts on Microsoft? I mean, we're pretty solid 360 fans here, or potentially some of us, and I think they did what they needed to do. I think Zeus's comments on kind of where they are in the marketplace and the hardware, I think they accomplished what they needed to, but compared to the past couple years, I didn't feel nearly as energized.
Yeah, I think this press conference for Microsoft was about, and it was a big risk and a big thing to try and move. I think this was about them changing the rules of the game. I think this press conference was about trying to inject, by changing their own strategy. And Intel did this like a few years ago, right? Kind of when they tried to make this shift away from people focusing on clock speeds. You guys remember that? You know, every month it was, you know, the Pentium 4 is 2.6 gigahertz, and now AMD's FX is 2.7 gigahertz, right? And Intel came in with a strategy change and then marketed it so that people stopped thinking about the clock speeds. And I think that's what Microsoft was trying to do with this press conference. Whether or not they succeeded, I think their success is going to be determined by them delivering on these iterative hardware installations and updates. But I think this is part of them moving the Xbox platform to sync up with their approach to Windows and software as a service and Office, and stop getting people and trying to stop getting people to think about, you know, the Xbox 2. Which sounds weird, and just getting them to focus on being invested in the platform, kind of like you are as a PC gamer, right? And just know that you're going to get a hardware refresh at some point, And I think that's, and then get people to focus on the games and Xbox Live as a platform, and how that kind of binds all of your gameplay together. Because really, I am a hardware guy at heart, right? That's where I come from. But the reality is really what I love about Xbox is, I love the games and the stuff around it, but it's really Xbox Live, right, is what brought me to the platform in the first place. So as long as that continues and thrives and iterates and improves, I could use whatever hardware to access it. So I think that's the game change that Microsoft is trying to throw our way.
Yeah, just a few other things I just want to mention real quick. One thing about ReCore, from what I've seen on a couple sites, it's actually going to come in at $40. So, and I don't know if they mentioned this, if it was just going to be a download game, or if it's a full retail, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. That's a $40 game. And then also along with the Xbox S, and I'm sorry, Gray, if you had mentioned this, I didn't think you had, but there's actually a new controller too, and I guess it's a little smaller, the controller, from what I've read. And it has texture grips on the bottom, so it's not so slippery. And then it's something that I wasn't sure about. Well, it said it was wireless and Bluetooth, so I'm not sure what they're talking about there, if just the connection-wise. So there's that.
I think
and
the
then
Bluetooth
along with...
for a headset. I'm guessing that's for a headset, if you had a Bluetooth headset.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. That'd be actually pretty cool. And then kind of on the controller our path here that I'm talking about, they announced the Xbox Design Labs, which is you can go on a website or on their website and just basically design your own controller. And I'm not sure how customizable it'll be, if that's a word. So I know they show like you can change the different colors of the faceplates and the number or the I'm sorry the buttons the face buttons and control sticks and stuff like that. But I don't know if you can like say if you want it like a smooth bottom or a textured bottom or anything like that. I don't know if it gets that granular or not. So there's that. And then one final thing which wasn't announced but I saw later on a website. I think it was actually IGN. That there's no Crackdown 3 at E3 this year, and it's been delayed till 2017. So that was a big bummer because I was really looking forward to that game, seeing more of it because we really haven't seen too much. So, and I was kind of doubting that it wasn't gonna be at least released this year, but I thought they'd at least show it. But there's not gonna have anything about it for E3 this year. So probably maybe Gamescom or something like that, hopefully. And I think that's all I had. Anybody else or comments?
Well, if there's nothing else about Microsoft, we'll move into the final press conference at Ubisoft. And, I don't have a lot here. I didn't see a lot of new stuff. I didn't see a lot of stuff that interests me. The one thing that did surprise me is Star Trek Bridge Crew or VR, which I didn't hear. It just surprised me they were making that game. It sounds interesting. I don't know that I'd buy VR just to do that. It almost seemed like a tech demo at some point. But yeah, what do you guys, anybody have thoughts on Ubisoft? Go ahead, DB.
So the Bridge Crew, I think, could be really interesting on the VR aspect. There is, there's been that Bridge Crew VR game or Bridge Crew kind of indie PC game where you had to have multiple computer setups and everybody had different stations. So it'd be really interesting to see how, if this is kind of a Star Wars skin on top of that aspect where you're actually playing a comms officer and, and all the different navigations and weapons and different people are manning each of those different stations. I tend to not pay too much attention to the Ubisoft press conference, at least until after the headlines, because usually it's a lot of cringeworthy stuff. But I was watching it, and I was very pleased to have the Trials developer and the Blood Dragon developer come down in very much like a wrestling kind of way where they came down through different aisles. They had some theme music going on. They were wearing some crazy Zuba workout clothes, jumpsuits. All they needed was like a fanny pack on or something. But it was really fun because they announced Trials Blood Dragon, which did kind of get leaked, but it's out now. And it is Trials in terms of the stunt gameplay that has been so successful, but done in this kind of hyper-exaggerated 1980s Blood Dragon world. And so it looks really fun. You know, I've gotten into Trials just bits and pieces, but I think being able to kind of enjoy it in this world versus just a motocross setting could be really interesting. So that was exciting for me. And another trailer that I thought was interesting that kind of surprised me was a game called Steep, which was all kind of like extreme sports in terms of wingsuit gliding and skiing and snowboarding. I don't really know exactly what it is in terms of a game, but it could be kind of cool if it's some type of online kind of smaller game where you're beating, you know, you're on different slopes and trying to beat records, very much, you know, whether you're snowboarding, you're parachuting down. You know, I really always enjoyed the SSX series, or even going back to things like Cool Borders, you know, that there could be different ways to do that. So those are some of the games that stuck out to me as interesting. I really appreciated the Ghost Recon demo, even if I'm not so sure of the game. So, Prime, you had the demo, you watched it as well, right? What did you think of the Ghost Recon demo?
Yeah, that was probably one of the last things I got to see from the Ubisoft. So, or one of the things I got to see, I didn't get to watch the whole thing. Other than Ghost Recon, I think the only other thing I saw was the new South Park game. But yeah, Ghost Recon. I've always liked the Ghost Recon series, going back to like the PC where it was like, you know, super big. Well, not super big, but fairly big environments for back then, I guess. You know, it was like super hard, and they kind of involved when they went to I forgot what it was called on the 360, Warfighter, I think, something like that, I believe, or Advanced Warfighter. But then this one, Ghost Recon Wildlands, it looks kind of almost reminded me of almost like an outside open world, The Division, just by the looks, because I haven't actually played it, The Division, but just from what I've seen, it kind of reminded me of that. There's a lot of cover base and just kind of shooting, and you can, you know, work as a team and, you know, take out, you know, different, I think you're in Bolivia, I believe. So yeah, it looks really cool. It's coming out March 7th of next year. So another 2017 game that's been announced. But yeah, I was definitely interested in this one. Almost kind of reminded me just because of the environment, almost like a Just Cause, but obviously, you know, you don't get to grapple around and parachute and wingsuit yourself, you know, around the environment, but it's more, you know, just, you know, just tactical gameplay and, you know, getting from place to place in helicopters and cars and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it looks really cool. But yeah, other than that, that's, like I said, that's probably the only thing that caught my eye since I didn't get to see the whole thing. I think I saw the video on the Star Trek Bridge Crew. And yeah, that looked interesting, but I don't know how exciting that could be if you're just, you know, manning one station the whole time. It might be kind of boring after a little bit. You know, obviously after the first time, you know, it might get kind of repetitive and monotonous. So other than that, that was about it for me. Zeus, did you get to see anything or hear anything from Ubisoft?
Yeah, and I apologize. I got a bit distracted with some real estate stuff going on. But did you guys mention the NX game that they're doing for Nintendo?
No.
Do you mean Just Dance or a different one?
Yes, I mean Just Dance, which could be questionable in terms of its definition as a game, but it is, as far as I know, the first official announcement by a major third-party publisher, one of the big three publishers, officially announcing something for Nintendo's NX, unless I'm mistaken. Do you know, DB?
No, that's the only one I know of. And even the indie one that was kind of leaked was really just speculative. It was the developer saying that they would love to develop it for it. So this is feels like it is the only official third-party one that I'm aware of as well.
Yeah, and Just Dance is no small franchise, right? It's big. I mean, it's at least as big as any Guitar Hero or Rock Band thing was in the past. But it has maintained its momentum despite those games falling off. You know, I think the other interesting thing is they're pulling an Origin or trying to look a little like Games for Gold and PlayStation Plus framework in that on, I guess this is going to be on Ubi Play. They're giving away a free game every month this year, which is interesting. Just as far as seeing them grow out the platform, you know, as much as I despise Origin, since they're chucking a free game my way every now and then, that typically is something that I do like would want to play on the PC. I can't. I've turned out that I can't hate Origin that much. So if Ubi Play goes in that same direction, then that's fine. Other than that, I didn't. You know, the only things I saw were the same things you guys did. I'm a bit surprised that nobody mentioned, did you guys mention the For Honor, which is this period piece with like ancient civilizations. And I can't tell if this is an RTS or a third-person action game, but you know, where you have Vikings fighting samurai and kind of these intermixing of warrior classes from medieval and ancient times, mixing it up.
We didn't mention that. I know that was a big deal last year. It didn't stay with me. How about you guys? Anybody else were interested in that?
No, I thought it was pretty cool when I saw it last year. I didn't get to see anything this year yet. I definitely want to check out the clips for that. And yeah, it's more of a third person, or at least what they showed last year was a third person game, kind of almost kind of Bushido Blade like, because they kind of showed where like when kind of just the one-on-one fighting guys were fighting, that it was only like one or two hits, and sometimes the guys were down, you know, they're killed right away. So it'd be interesting to see more gameplay on that. If they have changed anything from the last time they showed it, which was, I think, last year. I don't think they've shown anything else lately or within the past year. So, yeah, I definitely want to check that out. DB, any comments, or did you get to see anything on that?
Yeah, I saw a little bit about that. I think you guys described it pretty well. We also didn't talk about Watch Dogs 2, which was leaked. Or not even leaked. It was announced the weekend beforehand, and the South Park game as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we didn't cover in terms of those games, but they had a pretty robust showing in terms of a lot of different content. They had some more Division stuff in with the expansions, so their portfolio looked relatively full and not just. It's amazing what not having another Assassin's Creed game to spend a lot of time on allows them to do. Is that there's no Assassin's Creed, there's no Far Cry. It was pretty diverse compared to the past couple years for an Ubisoft press conference.
Did they tease anything on Splinter Cell? I thought I saw something about that on a Facebook group somewhere, or some forum group that you saw.
Ooh, I don't know. That one I didn't see.
Okay, I thought somebody had. I thought I saw a few people mention that, but I like I said, I didn't get to watch the whole thing, so I'll probably go back and watch it probably tomorrow or check it out.
Well, guys, with Ubisoft covered, next week we're going to cover... Well, all the news, I mean, it's only Monday, so there'll be all kinds of news coming out this week, I'm sure, that we haven't heard yet, as well as the Sony press conference. But before we wrap this show up, were there anything else, aside from those four press conferences, that you guys found interesting? And I'll pitch it to you, DB.
So, yeah, I didn't catch the PC gaming press conference, but I did look at the headlines from it. There's definitely some stuff there that had been announced previous. There's a lot of VR, both Vive and Oculus. They had some extended comments and gameplay on Cliff Bleszinski's Lawbreakers game, which, Zeus, you talked about previously when you got a chance to go down there and play around with it a little bit. But again, I think there's some neat games coming out on the smaller PC scene. There's this game called Dual Universe, which looks to be a great candidate for VR, but also for just good PC gaming, which is Dual Universe is kind of an open world space game where you're going to be flying but also exploring planets. A little more tech-heavy, but still kind of almost in that same vein of No Man's Sky, that there's going to be crafting and building, you know, that you're going to be moving from one planet to another and kind of moving in there. And so it's the alpha's, again, not going to be until 2017, but I think it's it's taking that No Man's Sky aspect and putting it in a broader context, or at least in a more techno sci-fi context, versus the artistic art style of No Man's Sky. But another artistic art style game that kind of caught my eye was Overland, which is almost like a puzzle adventure game, but it's kind of got a very Firewatch type of art style to it. It looks like it's not going to be on PC, but it looks like it's going to be a good candidate for mobile devices as well. But it's kind of this road trip in this apocalyptic area, as you're traveling across the United States and trying to survive. And so that, again, I think looking for something that doesn't feel like just another cut and paste sequel, and those games kind of stuck out to me as something kind of on the creative end. Anybody else catch anything from the PC gaming side?
I did not. No, I didn't get to see anything from that side. Zeus, did you catch anything? Any news from there?
No, I just really didn't follow it that closely.
I tried to look for some news out of it, and I couldn't find any. I'm sure we'll see some articles tomorrow. But, I love PC gaming, but I didn't see anything like with all the other press conferences, usually an hour or two later you have some good summaries of everything that was shown. I couldn't find anything like that for that press conference.
No, the DB, most I found. I was just gonna say the most I found great was on PCGamer.com, and it took me a little bit to dig around for what was covered. Prime, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna ask you when was that press conference for the PC?
I believe it was right after Microsoft and before Ubisoft, so that's where it kind of landed in the schedule. It wasn't covered by. I think it was on Twitch. I don't know that it was covered by all the big gaming outlets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was 2:30.
I didn't even see it, anything. Oh, okay. And then just two quick things really quick. A couple of news items I saw. One was actually before E3. They actually officially confirmed the PS4 Neo, but they didn't really give any details, at least not that I saw, and it's not going to be at E3 this year, so we'll have to wait on that maybe later on. When is it, the Paris show? Is that usually end of summer or beginning of fall or so, I believe? Maybe then, or Gamescom, something around there maybe? They didn't say that, but I'm just, assuming. And then the other thing was just another bit of Elder Scrolls news that I actually saw an article today when they were talking to Todd Howard. And they, talked to him about just the press conference in general, and then they brought up about a proper Elder Scrolls sequel. And he had mentioned that they're working on three games right now, and it would fall in the third game, so it's probably quite a ways off still. They asked him what those other two games were, and he didn't give any comments on those really. So they're working on at least three games. One of those is probably an Elder Scrolls sequel. To I don't really want to say sequel, I guess, because they're usually kind of self-contained. But the next installment of the proper. I'm assuming single player Elder Scrolls game will probably be, I'm assuming, like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years off still. So, but they're working on some games, so I guess we'll find out what those are. It'll be kind of interesting too to see what those are, since Fallout was the last one, and obviously Elder Scrolls is a ways off. So maybe we got some new IPs coming in soon. And other than that, that's it for me.
Any final thoughts, Zeus?
Nope, I'm good.
Well, I think that's it, guys. Thanks again for the pod, for coming together and doing the podcast, and thank everybody out there who was listening for listening in. And we'd love to hear what you think. Let us know. And for DBQ Hams, Osiris Prime, Zeus Adamus, and myself, Greylock 3491. Until next time, peace.